on Tfilas Kelim. We got up to Sif Yudalad. Ein ma'amin in katan al Tfilas Kelim. Says there, continues the Ramah, in Tvalo lishnei gadol have a Tfila. Namely, here we go back to the world of Ne'emanus that we saw back in Hilchos Shlita. We have a din of Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurim. The world of Tfilas Kelim is a world of Isur V'Heter. And even though an Isha is included in Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurim, a Katan is not included. However, the Gemara Sachim, in terms of Bedikas Chametz on Daf Hayamad Aleph, points out that Himnuhu Rabbanan B'Drabbanan, that when we're dealing with Dinim, Isurim Drabbanan, Chazal were ma'amin, a katan, sheyesh bo da'at. And so Alatar, Rabbi Kiveger, points out, nachon, tvilas kelim of matechet is midoraisa, and therefore a katan is not ne'eman, but zuchuchit is midrabanan, and therefore a katan should be ne'eman. Right? That's Rabbi Kiveger. Near lefize, since the reason over here is that we're dealing with the din doraisa, as the Taz points out, however, the Pisrei Tshuva throws in over here a monkey wrench in Sifkatan Yud Dalid. After quoting the Taz that the Prima Gadim quoted, he quotes that Rabbi Kiv Eger quoted, he quotes a Prima Gadim in Hilchos Pesach, Shekosav the Tzarachiyun. Daf Beklei Zechuchis Yud Rabbanan Gam Kein Nira She'eno Ne'eman, Kevon sheyeshlo cheskas isur, kamo shekasa besiman kuf kaf zayin, siv gimel, besofa haga. Namely, that we have a principle that eid echa neman bisurim is neutralized by ischazek isura. And over here, we knew this kli began, belonged to a goy. We don't know that it was nitbal. So my nafgamina, even if it's a dindrabanan, eid echad is not neman in a case of ischazek isura. And chora, in other words, when do we say himnuhu rabbanan bidrabbanan? Well, we have a suffix, so then we believe the katan. But if we have a schazik isura, then we don't. However, even that's what the Prima Gadim writes, but the Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Pesach disagrees. The Mishnah Brura in Siman Taf Lamed Zayin, Sif Katan Yud Zayin, says that we believe a katan in terms of Bedikas Chametz, not only in the case of Safek if there was Chametz there, even if we knew that there was Vadei Chametz, we'll believe a Katan that he did a Bedika and removed all the Chametz. Why? Because we learned in Hilchos Shlita that even though it's Chazik Isura trumps Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurim, but Biyado Letakein trumps Ischazik Isura. And it's Biyado of the Katan to clean the house. And therefore, over here also, it's Biyado of the Katan to be matbil the klei zechuchis, namely that ischazek isura is overridden by biyado. The Mishnah Berurah there in Hilchos in Siman Taf Lamed Zayin in Sifkat Yud Zayin simply points out the Ramah says, I'm sorry, the Machaber Paskin Taf Lamed Zayin Dalet Bayis Shehuchzak Shelo Bidako Hamaskir VaAmru Isha O Eved O Katan Anachnu Bidatkuhu Hare Elu Ne'emanim. And so the Mishnah Berurah says over there that Afilu hayasham vaday chametz gam kein ne'emanim elu shamru shebatku ubi orug. Even though it was a vaday, and in the Shar Hatzion he gives also Mar Makomos. The Mar Makomos are to the din of biyado. So that's what we have over here. That this din of biyado. If those of you who are interested in being ma'ayin in this sugya. In Siman Kuf Kaf Zayin, in other words, a few Simanim down the line, at the end of the Ramah Sif Gimel, you know, that which was quoted over here by the Tifrei Tshuva, the Ramah over there says, Imeir al Isur, we're doing with a katan, Imeir al Isur Drabanan Lahaka Vroes Chazik Isura, Kagan Bidikas Chamet, Neman Imdu Rabanan Bidrabanan. So that's what the Prima Gadim was quoting, that Ramah. But the Gra over there, Sivkatan Lamed Beis, has a long arichus in terms of how do we weigh the factors of Drabanan, Ischazik Isura, and the Yado. Right? So the Gra over there, Lechora, is the Makar of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shar HaTzion Kuf Ramed Zayin quotes this Gra. It's the Gra Sifkat on Lamed Beis. Very, very interesting.
So there's no manos for this custom even for a Daraisa? Even for a... not for Sichuchas.
Dafka Sichuchas.
Well, the Gra versus Vakal B'Kitzer B'Yodim V'Ein Safik B'Ein Yishuv and Katan Eman and Afila B'Daraisa.
Excuse me, where, who are you quoting?
The Gra and Sifkat on Lamed Beis.
I mean, there, what?
Yeah, and the, if the Mishnah Berurah is quoting this Gra...
Yeah, but you have to read through the whole Gra, not just one line, okay?
I mean, he says, okay, that's
yeah.
Klal.
Yeah. Does no one have Ne'emanus then to be Matzal Kalim? I mean, generally a problem in Eidachah.
So 100%, so that's what the, that's basically what the Mishnah Berurah says. Since we say that V'yado... you know, solves the issue of by a gadol, the chara biyado should solve the same issue by a katan, and that's where he brings in the gra in terms of how do we weigh these factors. Okay, just pointing out that this relates back, closes circles for us. So let's say we're talking about a katan who is bar mitzvah. If katan is bar mitzvah, chara is a gadol, right? And so the week after his bar mitzvah, he tells us that he was matbil a kli. So do we say, okay, he's 13 and a day, that's enough, or do we say, just a minute, we need havas shtei saros. And so l'chora, we're dealing over here with the din d'oraisa, tfilas kelim is d'oraisa. And so we're not so mechan chazaka d'rabba to assume that hevi shtei saros. So that's where the pisrei tshuva continues. Umihu b'zechuchit kol shehigia l'yagimol shana, Ain tzarach livdok achar beis saros, because on a din drabanan we have a chazaka deraba. Ubeklei matechet yeshlamar shetzarach leidashu gadol ad kan devara. That's all in the prima gadim. But the pisrei tshuva himself says on that miu yeshlamar dehocha af beklei matechet ain tzarach leida dehocha kiu mikol iser deoraisa. Wow, the prima gadim, the pisrei tshuva alatar wants to posit that even those dinim of Tvilas Kelim that are Mida Oraisa, we don't necessarily have to keep to the same criteria of a classic din de Oraisa, Nevela, Trefa, etc. That Tvilas Kelim is more Kal. Why in the world should that be? So he says, we'll see in another 10 minutes, okay? So let's just keep that in our mind, that there is this Pisrei Tshuva who wants to say that even though for a classic Yisr D'Oraisa, we want a katan to be motzias with Tkiya Shofar, we want a katan to be, or this, you know, this Bar Mitzvah Bachar, to be motzias with Tkiya Shofar, we want this Bar Mitzvah Bachar to be motzias with Parshas Zachar, so we have to have someone check that Hevi Shnei Saros, but not in terms of Tfilas Kelim, even of Klei Matechet. Okay, that we'll hold off in a minute. However, said the Ramah, im tvogo lifnei gadol have tvila. Namely, if the katan, we don't need his ne'emanus to tell us that the kli was nitval. The gadol sees, but the katan's doing it, that works. What's the chiddush? I mean, why is the katan worse than the gadol? So the chiddush is that even though in the world of tvila we do find those areas that require kavana, but here we don't require kavana, and so the katan can be tova. That we see from Sif Tesvav. Hitvil kelim ede oved kochavim alsalem tefila. Even though the oved kochavim adaita the nafshe ka'avid, there's no kavana that he has for the matbil. So we see there's no need for kavana. Eino ne'eman ala tefila. The goy is not ne'eman if the Jew's not watching him. But if the Jew's watching him, there's no issue over here of kavana.
Why does Shach Marach say this halacha twice in a row? If Tesvav is the same idea as Yadalat, that Katan doesn't have Ne'emanus.
No, again, we have the idea of a Mechaber and Ramah. The Mechaber speaks about Ne'emanus in Sif Yadalat, and he speaks about Kavan in Sif Tesvav. The Ramah tosses in Kavana in Sif Yadalat, and the Mechaber tosses and tosses in Ne'emanus in Sif Tesvav. They're doing Mechaber and Ramah. Each of them are consistent. Here we have a Bach, which is quoted both by the Shach and the Taz, that the assumption of the Machaber by us, that Tfilas Kelim does not require Kavana, is not so pashut. In Achinami, most poskim say that the only time they require Kavana in Tvila is in the world of Kodshim, like by Truma, etc. There you require Kavana. But in the world of Chulin, or in the world of Nida, there's no need for Kavana. If a Nida was counted Shiva Nikiyim, and then she fell into the mikveh. So, okay, so she fell and someone threw her in. There's no need for kavana. However, the Bach says, and that's the famous tshuva of Moshe about balot tshuva, that a person should not think twice if the balat tshuva is a girl who is tznua, yirat shamayim, but she has a pagam, that she is a bat nida. No. Even if the parents are fry, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and he would have arranged that the mother would have gone skinny dipping in a, you know, where it's in the ocean or in the pool of Arba'im. So somehow, you know, without kavanah, without having any intention necessarily for the world of tevila, there's no need for kavanah. Okay. However, the Bach says no, that we do need kavanah even in the world of tevilas kelim, that it can't be done, and even in the world of nida, and even in the world of kulin, you require all the time kavana. However, the Shach and the Taz point out that even according to the Bach, you require kavana by nida and kulin, tevilas kelim is certainly more kal. That over there you can be dealing with tumah v'tahara on a real plane. Over here, this is gzeiras hakasuv. In other words, there is no need for kavana. Okay. So that's what we have over here in Yudalad and Tisbav. Tetzayin, im shachach v'lo hit be a kli me'erev Shabbos or me'erev Yonzef, and he can't be matil the kli on Shabbos because that would be tikkun kelim. So yitneno, we have an etza. Yitneno lo ve'kochavim v'matana, and then it's the kli of a goy. Achar kach yashilena mimeno, and as long as you don't buy it from the goy, there's no need for tvila. Umutar lehishtam ishbo. The Ramah gives another hechetimza, v'chein yaseafilu b'chol ma'makom she'ein lo mikvah. In other words, you're in Austin, Texas. To the best of my knowledge, I don't know. Maybe there is a mikvah in Austin. There is a mikvah.
Austin has a community.
Okay, you're in Galveston, Texas.
Galveston used to have.
Well, anyone think of a Jewish community that doesn't have a mikvah? The Bronx didn't used to have a mikvah. Okay, you're in an area that doesn't have a mikvah. So also you can take this etzah of giving it as a gift to a goy and then borrowing it back. However, the question is this a long-term etzah or is this a short-term etzah? So the Taz Alatar says this is a short-term etzah. You know, for that Shabbos, or until you manage to get a train to the next nearest mikvah, you can use this etzah. You can't use it long term because the kli will get a shame of lakuach bidei Yehudi. People won't remember the fact that once you gave it as a gift to a goy and then you borrowed it back, and therefore can only use this as a short term etzah. However, if you recall, we saw back in Sif Aleph, the Rabbi Kiva Eger quoted a Tshuvas Ksav Yad, that when you have these large casks that are in the ground and they're too big to be tovel in a mikvah, so he gives the etzah of giving them to a goy b'matana and borrowing them back, and that's a long-term etzah. So it's a machlokes achronim whether this etzah is long-term or short-term.
What about
signing making him a shutaf? The chora, that would also, we pointed out at the moment that there is shutfus, right? Yisrael shemachar kli v'kocham v'chazar lakom imenu, mishkano b'yod, I'm sorry, Yisrael v'avikom shalakul kli b'shutfus, ein tzarech tvila. That would also be. That could also, maybe, perhaps, it's a good question as to why that is not offered over here as the eitz. Don't know. Think about it.
Why does it have to be in other words, in the case in Aleph, Yashar,
no, because there are other eitzes over there. We said there's an eitzah of drilling a hole, right, and then soldering it. There are other eitzes, but so we see that this eitzah was considered to be the equivalent. Okay, so now I promised you that we would get back to why, if tfilas kelim is doraisa, should it be more lenient than other doraisas? That over here is the conclusion of the simon in the Ramah. V'im avar umishtamish b'kli below tevila. Namely, that even though had we had a kli that had within it a bliya of iser and you used it for something else, then that food would also become aser. If you had a kli that which you cooked on Shabbos b'mezid, then the food that's cooked in it would be aser. Anytime you have an iser d'oraisa, the food which is cooked in the kli, which is aser d'oraisa, is going to become aser, but not by tefilas kelim. That's the kula that we have over here. That's what the Prima God, that's what the Pisrei Tshuva pointed at. Hocha kiel mikol yisur doreisa, kevan shim avar v'yishtamish v'lo tvila, lo ne'esar mashe besocho, k'mo shekosuv b'hago besof siman zeh. So maybe we would also be mekiel, and other dinim, like the fact of needing edus that a katan was maybe shtei saros, etc. Okay, so that's what we have over here in the text. Now, we have to deal with things that aren't in the text. So one of those issues is, what do we do with electric appliances that have on them a warning, do not immerse, right, with a skull and crossbones. Do not immerse. So in other words, do not keep halacha, right? Do not immerse this kli. So what does one do? So here we have six etzos, okay? Eitzah number one I mentioned to you is in the name of Rav Yaakov Breish, the Baal Chelkas Yaakov, was a posek, one of the few poskim who survived the Holocaust in Switzerland. So in Yoredeya, Siman Mem Aleph, he goes back to the beginning of the Siman where we saw a Shvus Yaakov quoted, that which is a kli which is mechuba lekarka does not require tevila, because that's a classic halacha, dine tuma v'tara, that mechubar is not mekabel tuma, and even though that is not brought anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch, but he makes a svara that the world of tefilas kelim should be no more chamor than a classic world of tuma v'tara, A. B, says Rav Reish, plugging something into the wall makes it mechubar lekarka. It's not considered to be a kli, it's considered to be karka. Yes?
Once you unplug it, isn't there then a kolos chiyuv to...
We're assuming you're only using it when it's plugged, no?
No, but once it's unplugged, now it's how should I have a kolos chiyuv to see when
Even when it's plugged, it's a kli. And
okay.
It's not so clear that which is mechubar is pater. Rabbi Kivager assumed even mechubar is mekabel tumah. But that was his far. Rav Shechter holds that is, you know, where it's a heter, that there's no need to go any further. Simply, any electric appliance that gets you could plug in does not require its tefillah. Most poskim do not take that approach, and so we have five other etzos. One is that of Rav Moshe in Yoredeya Chelak Aleph Simon Nun Zayin. There, Rav Moshe says that many kelim that have an electric unit, the electric unit is separate from the part of the kli which is used as kli su'uda. Think to yourself of an electric urn. So you have the upper part of the electric urn is where you pour in the water, and then there is the bottom of the urn where the water sits, and underneath that you have a separate kli of wiring and heating elements, etc. So he said, so you have a kli su'uda, a pitcher, which is attached to a separate kli, which is not a kli su'uda. So just be matbil the kli su'uda, and don't be matbil the electric part. Namely, the part that you're not allowed to immerse is the part of the electricity. And so he says we can view this as two kelim. Either it's a chatzitza, there's no way of being matbil the bottom part of the pitcher without going underneath. So Rav Moshe gives, I don't know, those who of you learned Nida last year, so we pointed out that there are certain types of chatzitzos that are not halachically chatzitzos. The chatzitza bebeis hasesarim. So Rav Moshe wants to say that beis hasesarim is not only the cervix of the woman, which is under her skin. Beis hasesarim means that when we have a situation where it is, you know, it's not immediately visible, that where we have the chatzitza, he has a whole lumdus there that maybe that this is not considered to be a chatzitza. In any case, that's Rav Moshe's etza. It depends on the kli. It's not going to help you buy a toaster, generally, because at least the classic pop-up toasters, they're the electric elements, you know, words are mamish in where you put the bread. You know, the same container that has the bread also has the electric wires that were meant not to be immersed. But it helps for certain types of electric appliances.
Can I be give an example?
I gave an example.
The urn, but if you try to dunk the part of the urn that has the heating element on the bottom, it's going to get into the wiring.
No, so you would hold it upside down and, you know, a slight angle, and you would immerse it.
What about the air? Cotton? inside.
So you're saying a slight angle, and you'll, it was that it's possible. Okay.
We have immersed our whole urn and waited. We could do it.
We'll come to that angle. That's number six. We're up only up to two. Okay. Number three. It goes back to the Chalkas Yaakov and a different tshuva over there in Siman Mem Gimel in Yeredeya. He gives another heter. He says, if we were to have a case where you were to have electric appliance where the only issue is where it plugs in, namely that you have a hole that the wire would plug in, and that's the only part that really shouldn't be immersed. Everything else is waterproof, so you could simply take your finger, put it in the mikveh, and then put your finger over the opening of the plug, and then immerse it, and we had the world of Hashaka, right? That the water on your fingers gets into the water of the mikveh, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. Okay, that's normally not the case in terms of our electrical appliances. They have a lot of holes in them and all over the place. We have the switches, etc. Okay, next etza is what we had in Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger, we saw in Sif Aleph, gave the etza of giving it as a matana to a goy and borrowing it back, and that works long term. That whenever you buy a toaster oven or a cheese a sandwich maker, just give it to your friend Johnny who works with you at work. Explain to him that it's for Jewish ritual reasons. You want to give him a gift and borrow it back, and he shouldn't worry about the tax authorities or anything. It's this is purely for ritual reasons, like mechiras chametz. And again, but that's only going to work according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, not according to the Taz. According to the Taz, you have to keep doing that every week or something like that. Okay, and then we had the Pisrei Tshuva and Sifkat and Aleph who quoted the Chachmas Adam, and this is very, very common in Eretz Yisrael. This is the fifth Eitzah, is simply to break it and remake it. Now, namely, it doesn't mean that you should toss it out the window. What it means is you give it to an electrician. Doesn't mean that you just unscrew a screw and unscrew it, right? In other words, anything that you could, that's not called breaking it. But give it to an electrician. The electrician will take a part of it out that only he could take out and then put it back in. And then it's a Kli Yehudi. In other words, the same way they're making a hole in the vat that we saw, the Chachmas Adam, and then when you re-solder the hole, that turns into a Kli Yehudi. So in Eretz Yisrael, that's generally what people do.
Our friend's son is very handy.
Nachon. For certain people, it's a parnasa, like selling esrogim. So they take, they have a sign. They take apart electric appliances and put them back together. What? But sixth etza is that of Yeshaya? Is that of Rabbi Willig? And that is to immerse the entire kli as is and simply allow it to dry totally and then to use it. Namely, that all those signs do not immerse with the X's and etc. etc. were meant, don't use it wet because then you can electrocute yourself and then the company would be responsible. But really, if it'll dry out totally, then generally nothing will happen. Sometimes things do happen. So that's a miyachein matzui, and it's not a reason why you shouldn't be matbil your kli. So you have six etzos over here, ranging from Rav Shechter to Rabbi Willig. Either you don't have to do anything, or you do everything, and then you have the in-between etzos. Just there is one factor which comes in the 21st century, which obviates a number of these options, and that's microcomputers, microprocessors. Namely, that a lot of electrical appliances have a little piece of cardboard in them in which you have embedded various, what are they called?
Computer
chips, right? And if those become wet, that's it. You can't just put it in the air to dry. In other words, you simply destroy it, like a coffee maker. A coffee maker has, where it's all computerized, by which button you press, etc. And so then, you have to go back to one of the other etzos. Namely, that's not an etzah just to put it in the sun. But you have to realize not everything requires tefillah. Let's say a microwave. So the only part of the microwave that touches the food is the plate. So you have to be tovel the plate. Nothing else touches the food. If you have a bread maker, so generally there's an insert that touches the food and that you take out and wash, etc. It's the same way you wash it, you can be matbil it. So it's not as bad as it sounds, but that's the that's
coffee,
the best of my knowledge.
Coffee maker, if it's a kareef, you just have to do the kareef, I assume, right? With those drip coffee makers.
Yes.
Coffee. So you only have to do the pitcher part, not the whole coffee maker.
Well, the problem is with the coffee maker, the water goes through, you know, the water makes its way through the various pipes, etc. All of that lechora is part of the kli that you're buying from the goy. And those, the problem is, even if you were to be matzil it, the likelihood is that those parts would not, the mikvah water would not touch those parts. In other words, the way, you know, it's very, very complicated the way that they are made. It's a very simple process of making coffee, but in other words, but the coffee maker itself. So Rabbi Bednarsh pointed out that if you have, let's say, a water filter system that you buy, in Israel they have what they call a Tami Arba. They have these water coolers and water heaters that you can buy, like they have in the office, in the YU office. You just press a button and get immediate hot water or cold water. So those have to be attached to the water system of the building. And so bringing in the plumber to attach them, maybe that's the Maisa Uman, that's like the Makeb Patish of the Kli, that turns it into Kli Yisrael, if you have a Jewish plumber. Right? If you have a Jewish plumber who will come in, or even a Goyish plumber who's not an Uman, but you hire him, then it's done under you, then maybe that would be considered to be, rather than take it apart and put it together, maybe simply the attaching it, because it's not something that a balabas generally can do. It's a little frightening, right? You have to open up the pipes of your house, and who says you're going to be able to close them, you know, properly. So usually you hire someone to do that. So it could be that Maisa Uman would be sufficient.
In terms of taking something apart and putting that together, is taking apart the electric components considered, together okay in terms of...
Yeah, as long as it's something that a head yod can't, it's really taking it apart. Again, simply, you know, or it should be something that a child can't do.
Even if it's not part of the actual, like, Ramosha's distinction between the two.
So, again, if you take Ramosha's distinction, so there's no need to be matzil. Again, Ramosha's, most people in Eretz Yisrael don't take Ramosha's distinction. They view it as one kli, and the moment we take it to an electrician, that solves the issue. And in Chutzlar, it's either people, you should take one of the two extremes. Either like Rav Shafter, don't do anything. Or like Rav Willig, that they're matzil it, and then hope for the best.
I mean, the coffee maker is usually the pot that's put in water is made of plastic.
Okay, that also would solve the issue if it's made of plastic, yes?
We're not concerned with Zayo, in other words, the food that's on the plate of the microwave is going to be, if there's like some Zayo there or anything, we don't care about that?
You know, it's the effect to view the rest of it like a Kisui Kedera. It's a good question. I'm assuming that most people, when they use them, microwaves also have a microwave cover inside that would, you know, it's a side, you know, just don't put food in stuff, but you generally cover it. Or the fact is, most people just use it for reheating, and generally the walls don't reach a heat of Yad Soled Espo, even if the food does.
Rabbi Paskin himself, when we learned Taruvas, I think,
yes,
that Rabbi has a chashash for such a thing.
For Pesach.
Just for Pesach.
Pesach is a different world.
Okay.
Pesach, we walk around our house with gloves. I mean, it's a different world. But okay. Second issue, on which we also have six options, is how do we deal with the world of bottles and containers that we buy with food? We buy a bottle of wine, right? So the wine was made by a Jew. The bottle was made by a goy. Why shouldn't we have to pour out the wine, run and be matpil the bottle, and then pour the wine back into the bottle? Why isn't that a kli suda? We bring it to the table and we pour out of that. We pointed out that serving is considered to be a kli suda, or we buy a jar of coffee. Why shouldn't we have to, you know, buy the jar of coffee, pour all the coffee on our newspaper, go and we matpil the jar, dry it out, and then pour the coffee back in? What's the heter to use that coffee jar or that wine bottle? So here again, I'm going to have, there are six ways of viewing it. The first two are mentioned by Rav Breisch, so we return to him. This is in Yoredeya Siman Mem Hey. That one of them is our kavana. The din is halokeach kli seuda me'oved kochavim. So the Rav Breisch wants to say that our kavana is not to buy the bottle, is not to buy the jar. Our kavana is to buy the content. It just comes that way. And so if there's no das, kone, if we don't intend to buy it, so it's not ours. it remains the goy's. Namely, the wine bottle remains belonging to the goy, who had in the coffee jar belongs to Maxwell House, and we're borrowing it. We're borrowing it. So if something belongs to a goy and we're borrowing it, then there's no need for tefillah. Of course, according to the Taz, this will only be a temporary heter. It wouldn't be a long-term heter.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be a heter? You know, a lot of them say the bottles, you have to re-deposit or something.
Yeah.
That'd be a way of saying,
oh, we're coming to that. Very good. We're coming to that. Okay. That's a little down the line.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The second point that he says is that we're aware that in the world of Mishnayos of Kalim, that a kli which is used temporarily, which is a disposable kli, doesn't have a shame kli. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about a paper cup. Can use a paper cup for kiddush, right? Is it a kli that would be good for it? So just like Rav Bryce spoke about the fact that mechubar doesn't require, it doesn't have a shame kli, so also something which is disposable doesn't have a shame kli. So usually we apply that to something which is intrinsically disposable, like a paper cup or like an aluminum foil pan. And there we have a machlokas, and everyone accepts that principle. Just we have a machlokas how to use that halacha lemaisa. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, and Chelek Hey Siman Lamed Beis, says that that's only if you're going to use it and throw it away. Right? In other words, if you're going to use an aluminum pan once and then throw it away, then you don't have to be tall for it. But if you're going to use it a few times, then even though it was made to be thrown away, but you're, in your das, you're giving it a sense of permanency. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel of Yoredeya, Siman Kaf Gimel, that even if it was made to dispose, if you use it a number of times, then, that since it was made to dispose, even if you use it a number of times, there's no need to be matbil it. So the Rav Breish wants to say, not only in a case where it was made to dispose, but if you plan to dispose of it, if you plan after you use a bottle of wine to either throw it away or recycle it, or to get back your deposit, you don't plan to keep it. You plan after you use the coffee to throw away the jar. So that's disposable. The moment it's disposable, it doesn't have a shame kli. It's a jump. Because up to now, disposable was something which was made in a very, very flimsy manner to throw away. Here we're dealing with something which could stay for years, but you don't plan, in our society, we live in a disposable society, and so you don't plan to continue using it. Maybe that is the heter. That's so far two heterim. Rav Moshe has a third heter, which is a permutation. It's in Chelek Beis of Yoredeya, Siman Mem. He claims that when you buy a bottle of wine, since your kavana is on the wine, not so much the bottle, so the kli is tafel to the food. So what you are buying is the food. The kli to you, it doesn't have any independent existence. It doesn't mean anything. When you decide afterwards, I want to reuse this bottle, for water, etc., then it becomes a kli, and then it becomes a kli Yisrael. Then, at that moment that you decide to reuse it, you are turning it into a kli. So by your turning it into a kli, that's a kli Yisrael. He brings an interesting raya from the world of Meiser Sheni. Now let's say that we have a Mishnah in Maseches Meiser Sheni, that if you buy a barrel of wine with Maos Meiser Sheni, then the wine becomes Meiser Sheni, but not the barrel. So you see that your kavana is only on the wine, not on the. And Rav Moshe feels that this certainly is a heter for klei zechuchis, and if someone wants to use this heter even for klei matechet and limchot ba makilim, that's a third explanation. Then we have in the Tzitz Eliezer three more explanations that will close our picture. The last of which I would call probably Minag HaOlam. He points out that, let's say we have a can. Let's say you buy a can of corn. So, according to the Chazon Ish, are you allowed to open that can of corn on Shabbos with a can opener?
Yeah.
That's bona, right? That's binyan dekelim. You're creating the kli. No, okay. So the moment that you begin to open the can, you're creating a kli. So it's a kli yisrael. Namely, the it's not a kli. From Hilchos Shabbos, we see that it's not considered to be a kli until you open it. So you're creating the kli in terms of tefillah. There's no need for tefillah. That's nice. Then he points out that we pointed out that which was meant for storage can also be viewed not yet as a kli su'uda. So since the goy, when he made it for storage, and the Jew buys it and then uses it for kli su'uda, so the Jew is turning it into a kli su'uda. Again, for the same concept, that the Jew is turning it into a kli su'uda. But the iker heter is that of the Maharal Diskin, the Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Ches Siman Kavav. The Tzitz Eliezer says that we pointed out that you are not allowed to use clay su'uda without tevila. What is considered to be using? So he says that emptying something which is full for the first time is not considered to be using a clay su'uda. Only subsequent usage, when it turns to be empty, and then you put something in it, and then you empty it, that's considered to be using. And that's minhag ha'olam, namely that if you are going to take the bottle, use it, empty it, and then throw it away or give it back, there's no need for tefillah. If you plan to reuse the bottle, if you plan to reuse the coffee jar, that's when you require tefillah. In other words, that because the first emptying is not, we spoke about what's a cooking in something, eating with something, pouring something, that's considered to be a use. Emptying, something that was full, and now you're emptying it, Maharal Diskin wants to say that that's not defined as a use. But then what comes out according to this, and I was told that Rav Schefter is Machmir, if let's say you buy a bottle of Snapple and you open it and you want to drink from the bottle, that, according to this far, would be Osir. I'm using the Kli. I'm drinking from the Kli. Right? That's not emptying. That's drinking. Namely, that the Heter, according to Rav Schefter, is to take a bottle of Snapple and a cup, pour from the Snapple bottle into the cup, as I'm emptying the bottle, that's mutter. But to drink from the bottle is not mutter. Okay? That's so everything has a plus and a minus. So on one hand, but that is generally minhag ha'olam, but minhag ha'olam brings about with it a chiyuv that we should not drink from the bottles that are drink from a can.
So minhag ha'olam is to go like this, Maharal Diskin.
Yeah, to best of my knowledge. That's Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, at least in Eretz Yisrael. That's what people, that's in other words, that no one is matbil a kli, in other words, before they empty it, but after they empty it, if they want to reuse it, a lot of people like to reuse, let's say, the Gerber little jars, you know, for baby food. They're, you know, you can hang them in your sukkah with a decoration. There are a lot of things you can do with them. Or freeze food for kids, you know, etc.
Aren't there some bottles with metal caps that we say that taking off the cap is like creating a kli?
So that's that was with the can.
No?
That was the can. That was talking about. That was the first Eitzah of the Tzitz Eliezer. That when you, if we view it as bona, when you are opening it, then there's no issue. Okay. One more issue, and then we'll move on. For this issue, I'll just hand out first handout. A lot of hands out today. Okay, in terms of the desire that people have to give a total gift, an absolute gift. So if I want to give someone a wedding gift of a glass tray, or I want to give someone a wedding gift of a metal, beautiful metal wine bottle, and I want to give it as an absolute total gift, the question is, can I be tovel it in advance? Can I send them a card, I'm giving you this glass tray, this crystal pitcher, and I've been tovel it for you? Or can the store, if you buy this in Borough Park or Lakewood, and the store has, I'm sorry, it should be something like this. Can one?
I got the one from last time.
What?
Mishloach Manos.
No, this is a different Mishloach Manos.
That's okay. Because I have Pesach here. Okay.
No.
Should deserve the Pesach back? I got
it. Like, Yeah, but there's, it's a different one.
Yeah,
it, this is a metal tray, right? So, or let's say I buy something from a store that has a mikveh in it, and the store owner says, "Would you like me to be tovil that before I put it in the box?" Right, and then I could. So, can the store owner be matbil lakli? Can the purchaser of a gift be matbil lakli? So al pi svara, I would say no. Because for the store owner, this is not a kli su'uda, as he pointed out. For the store owner, this is a kli schora. This is his merchandise. The store owner is not going to take off the label. He wants the label there. He wants the person who's buying it to see where it was bought, how much it cost, right? That this is a very, you know, expensive piece of you know, he wants to be macula with the labels on it, etc. But that's all that shows is that for him this is a kli su'uda. Similarly, the giver, for him it's also not a kli su'uda. It's a gift, and the, because he doesn't know whether the receiver is actually going to use it. Let's say I get married the week before Rosh Hashanah. I know that I'm going to get 12 honey dishes as wedding gifts. I plan to use one of them, and what do I do with the other 11? Either I'll exchange them, or I will give them as wedding gifts, right? I mean, that's the way things work. So it's not necessarily, you could have the famous story of, it was an Israeli humorist named Ephraim Kishon, about a box of chocolates that for years made the rounds of just being, you know, recycled, and finally someone opened it, it was all wormy, etc. And it had just kept going around as a gift. Rabbi Bednarz told me that there's a similar short story about one's receiving one's own Mishloach Manos back at the end of the day, you know, that had gone through some 10 people until it came back to him. But, you know, so there's no guarantee that it's going to be used immediately or even at all as a clay suda. Maybe it's going to end up back in the store. Maybe it's going to be moved, you know, it's, who knows? And therefore, how can you be, it's not just a question, you're not accomplishing anything by tovelit. You're not allowed to be tovelit. It's a meaningless tefillah. It's really not kemik a bracha. So this, you know, the problem is that it's so obvious, but where is it found? Who says it? So I found it in two places. I found it in the Tshuvas v'Hanhagos Chelek Aleph of Rav Moshe Sternbach, it's Siman Tuf Nun Beis, and I found it in Rav Shmuel Zalman Auerbach's works. It's in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis, Siman, where is it? Chaf, Siman Samach Vav, Siman Samach. He has a Siman on Tvilas Kelim, all different questions. And in the back of the Sefer Tfilas Kelim, right, there's this encyclopedia on Tfilas Kelim, not the edition I have in my house. The edition in the Beis Medrash has in the back, it's like a second or third edition, has in the back, before the table of contents, He'oros v'miluim. It has, you know, it's, so they have, the question was asked to Rav Shmuel Zalman Auerbach, is there a problem of lifnei iver lo sitein michshol to send a, you know, where it's a kli, su'uda, to someone, if you know he's not going to be tovelet. You go to a not-from wedding.
Wow.
Right? Are you allowed to give a kli that requires tefillah? Or is that lifnei iver? So, in the course of answering, so tshuva was Yisrael Shmuel Zalman, and so in the course of answering it, he says that the person who asked the question assumed that the giver of the gift can be matbilet. Mapitom, the giver of the gift can't be matbilet. Even if he was to be mezaka ayidei acher to that other person, right? And it's like we do with the bar mitzvah gift before Shabbos. But who says that other person wants to use it as a clay suda? Maybe he's going to recycle it. Maybe he's going to exchange it, etc. So the only one who's chayev, it's a chayev on the gavra who plans to use it. And those are the only two places I saw it. So I was very worried that maybe this is not a mainstream shita, because in the text of the book, he doesn't speak about it because I didn't find it at all. But then, you know, it's Rav Belsky passed away, and OU began sending out their daily halacha. Now it's no longer daily, but it comes once in a while. You know, everything begins like the daily. So he writes, "On Purim, I am planning to send cookies to my neighbor on a metal tray." This is not what we had previously. Previously, we had on a glass tray with a doily, and the issue was whether when you have something a chatzitza, whether that's going to, okay. On a metal, should I be tovel the tray or should my neighbor perform the tefillah? Beis Yosef, Yoredeya, 120, writes that tefillah is only required for utensils used with food, what we call clay su'uda. Thus, if a Jewish store owner buys utensils from a non-Jew for resale, the merchant, the Baal Achanus, is not obligated to perform the mitzvah of tefillah. And since there's no mitzvah, even if the merchant were to tovel the utensils, the tefillah would be ineffective. By him, they are klei schora. The purchaser has to do the tefillah in spite of the earlier tefillah. Similarly, a tray purchased alone as a standalone gift cannot be tovel before it reaches the recipient. However, okay, so that's a given. He takes for granted what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, takes for granted what Rav Sternbach says. But if you give a tray with food on it, that's a question. Maybe you're already turning it into a kli suda by you're giving the tray with food. Also, it's very unlikely that he would recycle it. It's very unlikely that he would exchange it because it was already used. So he wants to say that you should be tova without a bracha and then inform him that he also be tova without a bracha. I'm not sure about that last part, but the earlier part makes the assumptions, Baruch Hashem, that we've been making. Yeah?
Why do we have to say, though, that it's still not an issue of the same year? Just because the obligation is on the person that you're getting
it? I didn't say it's not. I said it's an issue. I said it's an issue that is dealt with by the Achronim. Is there or is there not Lufnei Iver in this situation?
The same issue would be for store owner.
No, by the store owner. Again, you know, in Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say that since you don't know necessarily what the person's going to do with it, so it's not lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is only if you know he's going to do an aveira. But here, you don't know what he's going to do with it. Again, maybe he's going to continue to give it as a gift. Maybe he would even want to unwrap it, right, etc. So it's unclear what's going on. Okay, ad kan hakafa aleph. Fine. Let's begin Hakafa Beis. Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph. Seder Hechsher Kelim Haniknim Min HaOved Kochav. Okay, so we start off with our rule. The rule is Halokeach Kelim Yeshanim Min HaOved Kochavim. So they have in them Lechora Ablia. Kederach Shanishtamesh Behem HaOved Kochavim. Kachi Hechsheran. What we call Kabol O, Kach Polto. And we have three scenarios. Let's speak about two: cold and hot. Right. So let's start. So lefika halokeach klei tashmish yishanim shenishtamish behem betzonein gon kosos v'talochiyot chayudom behem. So basically, there's no bliya if it was used betzonein. So we can assume that there's only shmutz, there's only behem. So medichan, you wash them. V'tzarach l'shav shefon heitei b'mayim b'shaz hadoch g'dei l'hosio marei ki'isra al gabim. You have to wash it well. You have to wash it properly. You have to scrub it to get off any gook that there may be there. And then, hey mutarim. Okay, so let me give you out the next handout.
Hadacha.
Huh? Hadacha means to wash. Okay. Okay, you want to pass this out? Okay, the what I'm giving you now has four sides. Okay, so the classic example of that which is used in cold is generally glassware, and glassware would also be very, very helpful because even if it's used in hot, we already saw that glass is not boleya. So it points out, does one have to kasher, or can one kasher drinking glasses for Pesach? So we're going to come to Siman Tafnan Aleph, but we might as well see it here. The Mechaber says there's no need, doesn't have to be kasher, just have to wash it well. By the Ramah, we're going to have a Chumrah that in terms of Pesach, and we're going to see the reason for the Chumrah. But basically, the moment that we're assuming that there was no Bliya, and in cold, generally, there is no Bliya, basically what we need is washing. Okay? Let's continue. The Ramah then points out a unique heter, Yesh mekomo shenagu heter lasum yayin bekelem shenisreyem butbakim bechelev. So we have over here chelev, lard, being used as the glue that holds the vat together, that holds the boards of the vat together. And if wine sits there for 24 hours, l'chora, it's kvisha, it's going to be boleya, this chelev. So what over here is the heter? Mishim sheteva hayayin levroach mena chelev. Yayin is not boleya chelev. V'chelev nikrash v'omed ba'atzmo eino nogea klal be'yayin. Namely, that when, in cases where there's no blia, then as long as you have washed away anything that was be'en, there's no issue.
Isn't there a more pashut heter though that it's tamlif gam because it's yayin chelev?
If it's tamlif gam, so that's a heter as well. Except that we don't create a tamlif gam l'chatzchila.
We're not. We're only using this chelev in order to plug up my hole. I'm not. I had no kavana to have this chelev come into my yayin.
You're buying a vat. Your neighbor had a vat that he used for apple juice. Okay, and now you want us to store your wine. So you ask your neighbor, can I borrow your apple juice? Can I get as a gift? Can I use your apple juice vat? And he says yes. But the problem is that there is this vat. So do we have to worry about it? So that, the Rama says, that there's not going to be any blia. There's no need to worry about it. Okay. Beis. Glokach mehem kelim shenishtamish behem chamin. But what happens when we have a blia? Because they were used with heat. So here we have a din of, again, kabalo kach polto. If it was used with heat, it can get the iser out with heat. And that's what we call over here hagala. So where does hagala work? Bein shehem shal matechet o shal eitz. Matechet and eitz are mentioned in the Gemara, that these are two types of material on which hagala will pull the bliya out when you heat water to the point of boiling, to the point of maga ababuot, in this kli. What about Evan? So the Machaber says, oh Evan, where did the Machaber get Evan from? It's not in the Gemara. So the Machaber quotes a Rif. And the Rif understands that since the Torah only gives us one exception to the rule of Hagala, namely Cheres, Kli Cheres Yishaver, that in Cheres there is no option of Hag'ala, that the Bliya doesn't come out of Cheres. So we can assume that anything else, you can. So the Machaber brings in Evan, the Ramah brings in Kli Etzem, ivory, that anything but. But the question is, nowadays we have, what about plastic? How do we deal with plastic? So here we have a Machokes Achronim, so that's on the other side of the page that I just gave you. Can one kasher plastic bowls and utensils for Pesach? So first I'll say over what I said before I saw it, before the OU published the tshuva, and then it will be seconded by the OU, okay? That there's a machlokas between Rav Moshe and Poskei Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe paskins in Chelek Beis Siman Tzadi Beis, right, 292, Chelek Beis Yoredeya Siman Tzadi Beis, that since plastic didn't exist in the time of Chazal, so we should be choshesh that Hag'ala doesn't work. And the Rif is a Svara. The Svara is that if Chazal didn't say that Hag'ala doesn't work, it works, but that's on things that Chazal knew about. You can't apply that Svara to things that Chazal did not know about, and that's the minog in America, that people are not magil plastic. Where if Willig says that if the plastic is only a very, very small part of the kli, like the handle, or like the soap disposer in the washing machine, in the dishwasher, you know, all the dishwasher is made out of metal, but there is this little plastic soap dispenser, so then you can be magil it, it's because of butto. But in America, basically, they're not magil plastic. Mashenkin in Eretz Yisrael, they say the Torah was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the Torah says that cheres is not boleya and only cheres, that excludes plastic even if it was unknown to the public. It was known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, all of the public institutions before Pesach, the army, the police force, the court system, anything which is connected to the Medina, they're going to be machshir their plastic kelim, as long as the plastic kelim do not have crevices in them, which may, or cracks, etc., which may bring about the end being stuck there. But as long as they're smooth plastic and they're not going to be destroyed with hot water, so we're magil. That's what I'm pointing out over here. Rabbi Moses Feinstein, okay, was asked, and he writes, the Torah sets forth guidelines. And since we have no clear guidelines, what they would have held in terms of new materials, we should not permit kashering them. However, many poskim, including common denominator except for Chalkas Yaakov. Minchas Yitzchak, Tzitz Eliezer, Avadi Yosef, were lenient on that subsack, and the Rabbanut HaRashit of Eretz Yisrael, provided the plastic won't melt or get ruined, and it shouldn't have scratches or cracks, etc. Okay? So it says that in America, generally people have the minhag of following Rav Moshe, but if one doesn't know their minhag, at the position of the OU poskim, that one may be lenient where there is a need. Okay? So, that's in terms of plastic. What we do have, in other words, what was new, I mean, the plastic is new since the writing of the Shulchan Aruch that we have edited in front of us. But what was new in the time of the Pisrei Tshuva was, how do you deal with metal kelim that were coated with enamel? Enamel is called geschmalzt. No, geschmalzt. You look in the Pisrei Tshuva, Sivkatan Beis. Ayen Tshuva Schasam Sofer. Kederos Barzel Hanasim Bekilas Kodes Kraka. Vehema Metzupim Behituch. Geschmalzt. Lavon. Veshua Dakma Od. A very thin layer of enamel. Avio Pachos Mekedei Klipa. The guf ha'hituch kashem ma'od, the nireh kebarzel, it appears to have the qualities of metal. The chisaron yediyah lekol ha'olam miman naase hagishmalt. No one wanted to, you know, the owners didn't want to say what it was made out of. They wanted to have a patent. Ki abalei hamalachos mastirin maasehem, like Coca-Cola, right? You don't know what's in it. V'yesh lachush ulai mecheres naase hata'arovet behituch. Maybe it's cheres. Okay, so nowadays we know how it's made. Nowadays we know that it's a form of ceramic. That really they were right. It had cheres. And it's cheres which is superheated. Superheated cheres. And so, l'chor, you can't do hagala, because cheres, the Torah says you can't do hagala. Theoretically, you could do libun. The question is that, you know, it's where generally we don't do libun on a kli cheres because it'll crack. Question over here, if it will crack, if people will be afraid not to do the libun to the highest degree. Okay. We do have something like that we're not sure of since the Pisrei Tshuva and since plastic. And that, when I was in America, there was a question about seasoned, what's that called? A seasoned cast iron pot. Okay. And give these out. What don't you do have in America? Okay. Okay, so what's so hard to give them out? Okay. Okay, everyone have? Okay, so I asked Shai Schechter what his father says about pre-seasoned cast iron pots, and his father had no idea, so he did some research for me. And he sent me two articles, one from Rav David Cohn from the CRC in Chicago. That's the middle pages, the Sapirim, and one from Rav Belsky Zatzal. What are we talking about? That we can look at this in the inside. Pots, frying pans, skillets, and other cookware made from cast iron must be seasoned to prevent them from rusting and give them nonstick qualities. It turns it like into Teflon. And so what they do is they coat it with oil, fat, or butter, put it in an oven for a few hours, and then more and more and more until the cookware is fully seasoned. And the process takes many uses and gives the cookware a rich black patina. And then once it's completed, it's seasoned forever. So once upon a time, people used to do this on their own. But nowadays, that's the way you buy it. And the fat which is used is certainly not kosher. The vegetable oil and the butter may not be kosher, etc. So the question is, you have to be machsherit. How are you machsherit? What exactly do we have over here? So the question came to Rav Gedalia Schwartz, and the question came to Rav Belsky, and the issue was as to how do we view this coding. Is this coating going to be viewed as a b'en that requires libun, or is this coating going to be viewed as a blia in the kli, and that you can get it out with hagala? Okay, that's a machlokas. So, all, you know, the same issue that they had about the enamel Right? What is it exactly? So over here, we know what it is, but we don't know halachically how to view it. So we're going to see a little later on the direction of both psakim, but Rav David Cohen said that you could do Haggadah, and Rav Belsky said that you have to do Libun. Okay, Libun Chomor. Okay, to the best of my knowledge, that would destroy the seasoning, but then you could season it again with your own oil and et cetera, et cetera. So in America, I was told this is by people who like cooking. They claim that these pots are very, very top rate.
I had one before I was married. I guess it's a cycle.
You bought it that way or you made it that way?
No, I bought it. You didn't have seasoning. You bought it and then you supposedly had to cook it with oil and whatever.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so I'm sorry.
Then it was starting to come pop, then I guess it went out.
Right. I don't have a color picture, but you can see that you know, the half. What? Rafelski, the OU. Machokas, the OU and the CRC. Okay, so let's continue. Let's continue to see if days. Lokach mehem kelim shenishtamesh bem chamin. So we began and pointed out that we require hagolah. Hagolah can be used for mateket, eitz, even, and for etzem. Plastic is a machlokes. Enamel, no. Only libun. Machlokes by the seasoned cast iron. V'achar kach, after you get rid of the iser, matbila, because you bought this kli from a goy. Imem shal mateket. Then you have to be mat, you know, right? Be matul midoraisa vehe mutarim v'im it bilan v'achar kach hig ilan mutarim v'yeshlama shetzarach lachzor lahat bilan. The question is, does the order make a difference? Does it make a difference whether we first machshir and then magil and then matbil, or can we also be matbil and then machshir? So the Rush, that's the first day in the Machaber, felt there's no difference. You have to do two processes. You have to turn this from a kli goy to a kli Yisrael, and you have to get out the ma'acharos asuros by nafkamina, which you do first. But the second daya, the yeshamim, that's the Rashba, that first you have to be machshir. If you're going to be magil the kli when it has a blias iser, it's like tovil, v'sheretz, biyado. As long as the kli is treif, you can't make it into a kli Yisrael. You can only turn a neutral kli into a kli Yisrael. You can't turn a treif kli into a kli Yisrael. It's going to remain a kli goy. Okay, how do we paskin? So the Shach in Sifka Tanchav says it's a suffix, how we paskin. And therefore, if you change the order, and first you did tevila and then hechsher, you should be matbil again without a bracha, like in all cases of suffix. The Chelkas Binyamin, the son of the Badei HaShulchan, Al-Atar, wants to say that it depends. L'chatzchila, you should do it in the right order. But b'di'evet, if you did tevila first on a kli that was eno ben yomo, then it works. Because if it's eno ben yomo, then as Yonatan will tell you, it's not really treif. Right? It's not really treif. So then, even though, again, we don't use it, but it's not really treif, and then you could be matbil, you know, so the fact that you were matbil at first can still put on it a shame, kli Yisrael. It's an interesting svara. Okay, comes along the Rama and points out, ein lahagil shum kli kol zaman shehu ben yomo. What over here is the issue? So the Rama wrote this to answer the classic question of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef said, I don't understand. How does Hagolah work? You put a kli into boiling water. The tam of the kli goes out into the water. But then it goes back in. So what did you solve? It goes out and goes back in. So how did you change the status of the kli? It was aser and it is aser. So the Rama says, no, you wait till the kli is eno ben yomo. Then you're magulit. Then it goes out. But when it goes in as a tam eno ben yomo. Namely, it doesn't go in. It doesn't, you know, there's nothing left to go in. This would solve the question of the Beis Yosef. So the ta is al atar, yes?
But then, if you have to, then you have to wait 24 hours to give the pot.
No, the other way around. If you have a kli you bought from a goy, and it's eno ben yomo, then you can at that point now be magulet.
Yeah. If it's your kli and you want to magulet,
And certainly you have to wait 24 hours, right? That ein lahagil shum kli calls man shehu ben yomah. That's the eitzah to get around the question of the Beis Yosef. The Taz asks, isn't there a better eitzah or another eitzah? Simply have shishim. That the water will have shishim against the blia, and then there's nothing left to go back in. It'll become batal. Why does the Ramah leave that out? He doesn't told of it. That's the Taz asks on the Ramah. And so the Kuz HaKesef Alatar says, no. He doesn't say it because it's obvious. We don't have to have a Shulchan Aruch telling us things that are obvious. Okay, so halach l'maisa, what do we do? So in Hilchos Pesach, this Ramah repeats itself and points out that the minhag, it's in Siman Taf Nun Beis, because your kavan, again, we spoke that in vatzin yisrael chatchil is only when your kavan is to be nehene from the ta. That. Yeah. The in Siman Taf Nun Beis, Seif Beis, the Ramah says, Al Kain Nohagu Shelo Lahagil Shum Kli Ben Yomo. Okay? So over there, Ratzon Olamar, Ben Basa, V'chola, V'chule, and the Mishnah Berurah over there points out, what about if Yesh Shishim? So he says, you shouldn't use the Eitzah of Shishim, Gzeira Shema Yagil Kli Shel Yisr, B'pachos Mi Shishim. That Eno Ben Yomo is a much better heter than Shishim. Eno Ben Yomo is like, you can't go wrong. The moment it's Eno Ben Yomo, it's always going to work. Using Shishim is always a question of calculations. And so, B'dievet, if you use it, is what to talk about, but L'chatchila you shouldn't. The Maisa in Israel, so they're Magil, all the public institutions, Erev Pesach, the last possible moment, because people are eating there until that, I'd say in the army. So Erev Pesach, early in the morning or just the previous day, that's when they do the Haggadah. So generally they tell the soldiers, don't use these kelim for 24 hours. But there's always going to be kelim that were used in the last 24 hours. So what do we do with those kelim? So they put into it some liquid that will give it a ta'am pagum, such that when the ta'am goes out into that liquid, it'll turn into ta'am l'fgam and won't aser when it goes back in. That's, they put ammonia, some sort of a pine scent, etc. What? Theoretically, yeah, but I mean, again, in the home, you generally have much more flexibility about simply, Ezeu Chamara Tanolad, Pesach is coming, so find the time. You're not going to use the kli for 24 hours, and then
in general, stuff, not just Pesach. I'm saying,
theoretically, we pointed out that it's a question as you have to be magil with water, and by putting this in, are you changing its nature? So it may depend how much you put in that it should still have a consistency of water. Okay, Sif Gimel, Dini Hagala V'libu N'Haloim K'suvim Yilchos Pesach, so we're aware, and we're going to learn that, Siman Taftun Aleph and Taftun Beis. Okay, so Taftun Aleph and Taftun Beis are really part of Hilchos Hechsher Kelim. They're mentioned over here by the Machaber. Okay, Machavat She'mitagnimba, Af Al Pi She'linyan Chametz, maybe we'll stop over here. Okay, is that okay with you? Okay, so we'll stop over here. Next time, Bli Neder, we'll finish Siman Kuf Kaf Aleph, and we'll move into Kuf Kaf Beis. Okay, B'seder.
Thank you, Rabbi.
B'seder. So the cast iron we'll return to, and we'll return to. Actually, if you open the other two tshuvos, can I be kasher my granite countertops for Pesach? That we can answer. Granite countertop is stone. That's Evan. So we saw the Shulchan Aruch says that you can kasher Evan. Okay, so he goes and how to kasher it. Can I be kasher my quartz countertops on Pesach? What's quartz? Quartz is granite plus synthetic resins and pigments. Okay, synthetic resins are what we call plastic. Okay, so it's a combination of Evan and plastic. So then you move over to, do we say there's an Iker and a Tafel? If the plastic is only like holding it things together, but it's not the Kli itself, that's what?
The plastic is a mute,
then. So you'll see how the OU deals with it. You know, it's where the main majority is stone, and then plastic, we throw machokas with the kasher plastic or not. So that's where Abelsky gets into it, and they said the best thing is cover it. Okay. They said, okay, so you have all of these, all of this knowledge because of should be the Zecher, Igor Nishmas or Abelsky, and then spent his life